I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Today's show feels especially important, and just to be honest with you, just knelt down on the floor outside my studio a moment ago and just asked God, may your kingdom come and your will be done in our midst today. Well, you know this, if you listen often enough, every month we have our good friend Than Bennett on the show for what we call a faith perspective from the Hill. He serves as the director for government affairs for the ACLJ. But today we're going to do something a little bit different. Than's going to co-host with me today. He's going to give us an update from the Hill, some of the things he's seeing. I've also asked him to read a piece that he wrote, an essay that he wrote in response to the election before we ever knew. I don't know if he wrote it a week before election day, but it's so profound, I feel like we need to hear it. So we're going to just do a little bit chatting back and forth, but then we're just going to pray. We want to pray for you, pray for the requests that come in. So this is where I'm asking for your engagement. I'm asking you not to wait. Get these prayer requests in right away, because we're just going to pause and take them one by one. What is your greatest burden right now? What are you afraid of? What's breaking your heart right now? Love to know. Will you text in 877-933-2484? It can be about our nation. It can be about this process of the potential transfer of power. It can be about something going on in your own heart, in your own home. But Than and I just want to stand with you, want to just seek God, you know, seek Him first and foremost. So please text, chime in. I appreciate that so much. 877-933-2484. Also want you to know we've got a stack of books to give away. Than's book, this came out a while ago, not too long ago, but I feel like, 2020 came out this year, but it was months ago. But I feel like they should almost re-release it into the atmosphere right now, because it's such a word in our season. My Fame, His Fame, Aiming Your Life and Influence Toward the Glory of God. And he explores Habakkuk, and it's just this cry for God to do something in our day. I love this book. So if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Some of the themes we'll look at today is, how do we stand against the evils in our day while maintaining a pure heart and a strong love for our fellow man? Can that be done? I believe it can. Is there such a thing as political idolatry? And if so, what does that look like? How do we balance boldness with respect for authority? So we'll get Than on in just a moment. A quick, very important announcement. Mark your calendars this Sunday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Dr. Troy and I will do a free live stream event on God's genius behind the invitation to live grateful. We're going to talk about the power of a grateful life, physiologically, emotionally, spiritually. Synapse Center for Health and Healing is giving away almost $2,000 in services, and we've got a bunch of other real fun goodies to give away. More information is on our website at myfaithradio.com. So how can we pray for you? What's burdening your heart? What are you afraid of? Will you chime in? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Than Bennett is Director of Government Affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice. He's a regular on-air contributor for the daily syndicated radio broadcast J Seculo Live. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. He and his wife, Brooke, live in Fort Washington, Maryland, with three children, Jude, Gambrel, and Hope. And he's a great friend of the program and mine personally. Than, welcome back to the program.
Susie, it's always a treat to be with you. And I just tell you, I was on my knees just a few minutes before praying and believing that God will speak through this program as well. So thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. We're in sync that way for sure, Than. Well, you know this, you've been on plenty of times. We love to start by talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been thinking about these days.
Yeah, sure is. I actually wanted to read two verses about hope this afternoon. Our youngest daughter's name is actually Hope, so this is a concept that is really precious to Brooke and me, and I think it's something that all of us need right now. So first off, Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And I love that one, Susie, because it reminds us that the reason our hope is unshakable is because it doesn't depend on us. It's secure because Jesus has taken our place and he is advocating for us with the Father. And so it kind of naturally leads us into this question, okay, if we have this hope, what is it that we're to do with that hope? And that's why I wanted to tie in 2 Corinthians 3:12. And it very simply says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And Susie, there's a lot of intimidation in our world right now. And I know we're going to talk about some of it today, but we're going to have some disagreement. We're going to have some trepidation. But you know what we should always be? We should always be bold. We should always be courageously confident because our hope is built on nothing less than the very Son of God. And that Son of God is the one that stands in our place and he advocates on our behalf. So I just wanted to start with those verses on hope. It's such a wonderful assurance, and it's the best reason of all to have hope.
Man, I love this segment of the show. I mean, when I just start to hear the living word of God, I feel strengthened and assured. So thank you. Thank you for coming armed with such amazing verses. Appreciate that. And thank you, friends. I see some text prayer requests coming in. I cannot wait to tackle these with you. Okay, the first question I always ask you when you come on, so I'll ask you this first before I ask you to read your essay, is you live in this epicenter of politics, and it's been a month since you've been on, and a lot has happened. So what's gotten your attention?
Yeah, just a thing or two has happened in D.C. and across the country since we've talked, Susie.
Marvelous grasp of the obvious. Me? Yeah, right.
Well,
keep going.
Right. Well, you know what? It's so true, though. Every time we talk, it feels like the last 3 or 4 weeks have been just packed to the gills with activity and news, events, and so often controversy. But obviously, these last several weeks have been dominated by the lead-up to the election and then the election, which took several more days even to announce a declared winner than is typical, and then the aftermath, which has involved legal challenges. And just from my perspective, Susie, heading into every election, I think just about every American that participates in the process is probably looking for a couple of things. Number one, they're looking for a preferred outcome. They have a candidate or candidates or a party that they hope will win. And so there's either, excitement or disappointment on the other side of that. But then I think secondarily, the second thing that really all of us are looking for is confidence in the outcome and quick certainty so that whatever the outcome is, that we can move towards it. And, Susie, that second piece of it is one that we did not get this time. And in a particularly contentious election, I think that has made it even more difficult in the aftermath for some of the healing to happen and some of the either transition or continuance of government to occur. And I'll just tell you, it feels a little bit like deja vu for me because I actually worked for the transition team of George W. Bush in 2000, and we had 37 days in there where we were preparing to transition, but we were not. We didn't have the resources from the government to transition, and there was not certainty that it would happen. And so it leaves us in a little bit of an anxious place, no matter who we supported or who we were for. And it's certainly dominating the attention in this town right now, and I think probably all across the country. But I think it makes the topics we're talking about today even more important, because no matter which side you're on, Susie, there's a little bit of uncertainty and trepidation until all of this shakes out.
Mm. Boy, I appreciate the way you presented that. Okay, set up this essay. I mean, you posted it. Did you post it before the election or you wrote it before the election? But set it up for us first.
Yeah, so I posted it the morning of the election, but I wrote it the weekend before. And I really did that intentionally. And I wanted to make sure that it was public before we knew what the outcome was, or before really even anybody went to the polls, because I wanted to try to get all of us as followers of Jesus. And I think you can probably relate to this, Susie. Whenever I write, I'm the first audience is me. I'm writing about a work that God is doing in me. And I wanted to make sure that no matter what the outcome, I was going to be prepared to respond according to the word of God, according to how he was leading, and with grace to those who might have a different perspective on how it happened. So I had more than a little bit of angst that these weeks following the election were going to be very volatile. And I had particular angst that inside the body of Christ, there was going to be a lot of division. So I kind of wanted to write it without knowing which side of it any of us would end up falling on, and maybe get us to sort of pre-glimpse and pre-decide how we would respond to it. So yeah, I wrote it before the election, and then I posted it on the morning of the election.
I just think that's such incredible wisdom. We do have to break here. So you're going to be sitting at the edge of your seat, friends, holding your breath, and you're going to hear it on the other side of the break, talking to my friend Than Bennett. Again, we've got a good stack of his book. You're going to love it. He writes like he speaks. My Fame, His Fame, aiming your life and influence toward the glory of God. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. I see the prayer requests coming in. Keep them coming. We're going to pray for as many of you as we can. This is a time to get with God, but I feel like you need to hear this essay. I just think it's a wonderful charge for it. No matter where you land on the topics, we are Christians, and there's a way for us to march forward from here. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I have an important show for you today. We've got our good friend, Than Bennett, on the show. He joins me every single month. He's the Director of Government Affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice. Even more important, which is, that's pretty impressive, but he's a great friend to Faith Radio and to me personally. His book is titled My Fame, His Fame, Aiming Your Life and Influence Toward the Glory of God. Got a stack to give away, 877-933-2484. What we're doing today is a little bit different. Than is kind of co-hosting with me. I asked him to come and read first an essay that he wrote before the election. He posted it the morning of the election, not knowing how things would turn out, and kind of we still don't know how things are turning out. But it was sort of a charge for us, and I wanted him to read it, and then we're going to start taking your prayer requests. I've seen a number of these that have come in over the text. How can we pray? We're going to be praying for you. 877-933-2484. So, Than, go ahead and read your essay if you would.
Okay, yeah, posted this on my Facebook page the morning of the election, and it says this. It says, "The election is over, or at least it will be once I am encouraging you to consider the message of this piece. In order to communicate as candidly and as free of personal bias as possible, I am penning these thoughts the weekend before the election. I am doing so in order to offer encouragement without the benefit of a lens of knowing which of us has won and which of us has lost. I write without knowing which of this advice will apply mostly to me and which will apply mostly to you. In doing so, I hope I can give all of us a path forward in what will almost certainly be a volatile time. Normally, I wouldn't even dream of attempting this, but I do so now out of a deep conviction about the importance of the weeks ahead. No matter who has won, our collective efforts to form an ever more perfect union will hinge on our ability to bridge divides, proactively forgive those who have offended us, and prioritize living in harmony with our neighbors. It will require humility and victory in making political differences secondary to embracing human differences and living lives in pursuit of the most important things, like service to one another. I suggest it will take a common embrace of the idea that we can disagree together in pursuit of that more perfect union. So many times we fall into the trap of believing this means something as simple as bipartisanship. In my view, that belief misses the mark because there are certainly absolute truths we must stand on, and we must do so regardless of whether either party stands with us. But as we stand for truth, we betray and forfeit the value in doing so if we surrender the pursuit of the greater good in exchange for the pursuit of vanquishing our fellow Americans who hold different views. We are often encouraged to simply overcome our differences. I firmly believe a pursuit to overcome our differences sells the value of the freedom to disagree far short. Dissent, disagreement, and open debate are not bugs of our democratic republic, but rather fundamentally vital features of it. Without an embrace of this friction, ideas are not subject to scrutiny, and we are left to live under the rule of inferior ideas simply because the side with political power has the authority to enforce them. But when we cling to our differences over our common bonds, it threatens the unity of a common pursuit our founders knew to be essential for the survival of the republic. So, without the benefit of knowing who won, who lost, and who will hold that political power for the near future, what is my responsibility going forward? What is your responsibility? What actions propel us toward genuine debate of ideas based on merit and away from entrenching the division that has plagued our culture? If my candidate won, my burden of responsibility may be the heaviest. But if my candidate lost, while my burden of responsibility may be somewhat lighter, it is in many ways more difficult. If my candidate won, I have the responsibility to initiate outreach to those who lost. I have a responsibility to resist the temptation of believing my ideas are entirely correct. I have a responsibility to remain introspective about the ideas of my candidate and party and to point out where there are course corrections necessary. Ultimately, I have a responsibility to use my influence in a way that makes my candidate's certainly imperfect governing as productive and fair for all Americans as possible. If my candidate lost, I have a responsibility to respect the choice my fellow citizens made and value the importance of self-governance over the comfort of the government I prefer. I have a responsibility to be open to assisting my opponent's efforts to govern. I have a duty to avoid disengagement. To the contrary, I have a duty to respectfully challenge the ideas I continue to believe are misguided, but do so in a way that is aimed at refining the outcome in a positive way. Neither of these sets of responsibilities is easy. Neither is always enjoyable. But both are essential if our aim is moving forward together. We will never agree on everything, nor is that the aim. I say again that dissent, debate, and disagreement are all good things, for our aim is unity rather than uniformity. A healthy republic requires both dissent and a unity of citizen spirit. We can and we must disagree together. The very survival of our more perfect union depends on it.
I just think that's absolutely amazing, Than, and really brilliant. Thank you for reading that. Wow. All right, let's tackle these prayer requests, and none are too small, too big, and we're not censoring any. We're just going to get as many as we can. So Cheryl writes in, I have a burning heart for an honest legal election process, a burning heart that the mountain of media will be exposed for any lies and censorship, and for unity within my family regarding this election, and wonder if you wouldn't mind taking Cheryl's request.
Certainly, Cheryl, I share that desire. I think it's one that all of us should. And, you know, I think this is a unique time period because none of us are 100% certain which way it's going to come out. I think there's a likelihood that the declared winner will be the winner, but there are some legal challenges, not unique to this election, by the way. I mentioned in the open the challenges that happened in 2000. And when an election is as close as this one was, those type of challenges are pretty routine. They're pretty regular. And I do have confidence that our judicial system will ferret out the truth of them and we will have confidence in a winner. But Cheryl, I do think it shines an even brighter light on this concept that I was writing about before the election, because we're in this place of uncertainty. And I think it's valuable and healthy for us to grapple with, will we be able to shoulder the responsibility that we have no matter the outcome? I think most of us will probably be able to shoulder most of the responsibility if we come out as the winners, but will we be able to shoulder the outcomes if we come out as the loser or if our opponent has succeeded? And I think that's a much more difficult question. And so I share with you, Cheryl, the desire that we would be able to attain that, but I think this is a valuable moment where we can honestly assess the condition of our hearts, the condition of our spirits, and then commit to following through no matter how this plays out.
Beautiful. Would you pray for her?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Cheryl. I thank you for her desire, a desire I share, by the way, to steward this moment well, to come out on the other side of these legal challenges in our country with a commitment to serving fellow citizens, ones we disagree with, ones we agree with, Father, for the common good. And Father, I would pray for Cheryl and pray for myself, pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that this would actually point us more towards you, that we would realize that while we have political preferences, that our hope does not lie in those political preferences. Our hope lies in you, and we will put our confidence in you no matter the outcome of a human government. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Becky says, I'm grieved by the lack of statesmanship, civility, and clarity of thought in our leaders. Discussions are highly emotional and accusatory. I'm praying the Lord will raise up a generation of leaders who will lead well and model high character for the constituents. That's just brilliant, Becky, and I echo that sentiment as well. I dream of the day when civility could make a comeback and humility. Dan and I have talked about this at length. Humility, I just believe, is irresistible to the Lord and reflects his heart. So, Father, I lift up Becky's request, and we all seek that, Lord God. We ask for humility. We ask for revival. We ask for statesmanship. And Lord, every system is broken, but we do have a pretty amazing system. And I do ask you, Father, where there is corruption in the shadows, expose it, foil it, and dismantle it in Jesus' name. And I do pray, God, that you would raise up godly leaders in every sphere of influence where they have conviction and integrity and a fear of God. Even if they don't know you, they would know, Lord Jesus, that there is a God in heaven and not to be trifled with. I pray, Lord, I believe you, Lord, that you want to do something in this nation, not because we're special, but because there is a remnant of people who've humbled themselves before you, who sought your face and have turned from our ways that we might see you move once again. And we're believing you for a revival again, not because we're special, but because you're good and your promises are true. So we honor you, Lord. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Okay, I've got just a couple minutes here before our break. Susie, my wife and I long for prayer. We found out the exciting news we're expecting our first child. While we're thrilled, we're scared for the future America our child will grow up in. We all are for prayer for the health of our baby and for peace of mind for us. God bless. God bless you and congratulations. And Than, since I'm watching my clock, I think I'll take this one so I know when I'm coming up on that break, and we'll have you grab the next prayer request. But Father, I pray for this precious couple. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Every child is a gift from God. And as Dr. Warren Wiersbe once said, every child is a sign that the world must go on. I pray an anointing and a blessing on this little one. I pray the call of God would be mighty on this little one. I pray this little one would grow to full health and strength, and that whether it's a boy or girl, that they would be so drawn to your presence, they would be so drawn to your word and be so called by your spirit that they would see it from an early age. And Lord Jesus, we need world changers. So I pray, Lord Jesus, for those even walking the earth today, young people, students, college students, I pray, raise them up, God. Raise them up, mobilize them. And for these little ones who are in the womb, God, mobilize them too. We believe you. We trust you for great things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, I love that prayer request. Thanks so much for texting in. I see a number more coming in. Than Bennett is co-hosting with me today. We are praying for what's on your heart. Thanks for texting in, and we will be back in just a moment. Keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? We, because he overcame, we will overcome. But if we look too long at the bad news, we'll be overcome and forget about the good news. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. My friend Than Bennett joins me every month, and usually we're talking a faith perspective from the Hill. Today, he's co-hosting with me, and we're praying for you just because we know this is just a tough, tough time. I got a good stack of his book to give away. I highly recommend it. My Fame, His Fame, Aiming Your Life and Influence Toward the Glory of God. So if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. 2484. And if you want to text a prayer request, send the same your prayer request in a separate text to the same number. All right. This one's pretty raw. And this is what I love, Than, about our listeners, is they're so honest and so raw. But Tina writes in, Susie, I'm struggling and overwhelmed with life in so many ways. Unfortunately, the stress is causing my fibromyalgia to flare up. My head knows the truth that God's in control. My body is not on board. It's so much, from the pending election outcome, the second wave of COVID and restrictions, continued division in our family and church due to both of these topics, my already tumultuous marriage, then the new knowledge that a vaccine possibly includes aborted fetal tissue. Oh, my word, I did not hear that. She says, this last item triggered me as I had an abortion 31 years ago. I'm just so over it all. Fan, first of all, anything you might have to say to Tina, and then I'd love for you to pray.
Sure, Tina. My prayers are with you. And I would tell you two things. I do want to pray for you as well. But number one, I would just encourage you that God's ability to move does not depend on the rise or fall of any particular candidate, any particular party, or quite frankly, any particular nation. And I would maybe just offer you this piece of encouragement as well. My dear friend, Pastor Joel Schmickall, encouraged me with it just a few days ago. He said, when we say that we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we would do well to remember what happened to the hands and feet of Jesus. Those hands and feet were nailed to a cross of sacrifice. And so when all of the pressures of this world press down upon us, I would just encourage you, as he encouraged me, to turn your attention rather to the fears of what surrounds us, to the call that we have to serve those around us. And I think you will find that that will lift your eyes from the circumstances and put them on things that are eternal. But God, I would just pray for Tina right now. I first of all just pray your hands of comfort would surround her, that your arms would hold her in this moment. Father, just remind her that she is precious in your sight, that her past is under your blood. You knew it before it happened, God, and you sent your son to the cross to pay the penalty for Tina and for Susie and for me and for each one listening. We rejoice in that today. God, I would just ask that you would give Tina just the encouragement and the reminder that the future is held in your hands, and that this time on earth, it is going to be a struggle at times. We are fallen vessels, and we have to walk through these seasons. But God, in the end, you win. You sent your son to cover our shortcomings, and because of that, we will share eternity with you. And so I would just encourage Tina in this moment that you hold her in your arms, and you've called her to your side, and she will spend eternity with you. And for that, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Karen says, the biggest burden of my heart is for our nation is that as God's people, we would humble ourselves, confess our part in the ugliness of the social climate, confess our lack of wisdom and selfishness, mostly that we would plead with God for an awakening of his spirit within us. And Karen, I came in here at the studio today with a portion of Daniel's prayer. I'm going to read it from Daniel 9, and I'm going to just add a little bit, and then we'll have Than take the next prayer request. But Daniel said, I prayed to the Lord, my God, and I confessed, O Lord, you are great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and all the people of the land. O Lord, our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all of your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from our nation. All the neighboring nations mock us and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. Oh God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. Oh my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how our city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea, not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. O my God, for your people and your city, bear your name. Jesus, we do. We need to humble ourselves. And as Anne Graham Lott said recently on the show, that in part, the state of the nation is because of the state of the church. Father, we have been apathetic. We have been materialistic. We've had plenty of idols in our tent, and we've made excuses for them. God, forgive us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, and revive our land. And start with me. Start with each of us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Fan, a number of people have texted in, terrified of the Great Reset, of losing religious freedoms, of what another shutdown may do to churches altogether, and some of the overreach that we're hearing about, like in California. There's a number of people who are just like, I'm terrified if Biden gets in, let's just say it, that we're going to lose our religious freedoms and then we're not going to recognize our nation. Maybe speak to that, and then let's pray.
Certainly, absolutely. Well, I do think there are current threats exactly right now, and some that could increase if there's a change in government. The threat in California, where churches are not allowed in some instances to sing, is a very real one. But Susie, I might tell you this. I might tell you that I think the appropriate place for us to start in this moment, before we know exactly what the next government would do, would be evaluate our own posture. And I think maybe I shared this with you recently, but for listeners, both sides in Washington, D.C. right now are making lists. And what I mean by that, the left is making a list of people who have supported Donald Trump over the last 4 years, and their plan is to ruin those people's careers and reputation. Wow. And the right in Washington, D.C. is making a list of Republicans who they believe didn't support the president fully enough with plans to retaliate against them. And as wow. I think about that, I think about what Jesus did. Susie, if anybody had a right to make a list, it was Jesus, right? Who would have been on that list? It would have been Judas, who betrayed him. It would have been Pilate, who was washing his hands of responsibility. It would have been religious leaders who brought the charges against him. And it would have been against the soldiers who were executing him. But what did Jesus do when he was hanging on the cross as the life was ebbing out of him? He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I would just say to the folks who are concerned, and there is some cause for concern in some of these, let's start there. Let's model our response after Jesus' response. It was anything but the cancel culture that we're living in. He Amen. Modeled preemptive forgiveness before it happened. And here's the second thing I would say. I think a lot of times when we as Christians hear words like unity and harmony, we think passivity and laying down our engagement. That is incorrect, Susie. We can engage with a humble spirit for the betterment of our citizens, and the enemy would like nothing better than the people of God to abandon the playing field. So, is our goal unity? Yes, it is. Is it harmony? Yes, it is. Is it peace with all men? Yes, it is. But that does not mean disengagement. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to respectfully engage whoever the leaders of our nation is, and insist on the rights that have been that are inherently ours from our Creator, but also secured by our governing documents.
As you said in your essay, unity is not uniformity. And I do think that's why, as we've talked on the show and on other of our live shows about humility and praying for a unity of spirit, people have taken that as passivity and uniformity, and that it's not at all what we're saying. And I love that you're saying stay engaged, but stay humble. And I mean, the kind of maturity it takes to do what you do, Than, really, you're right in the epicenter of the firestorm. But the kind of humility and maturity that will be required from us in the days ahead is significant. How to keep a pure heart, how to not react in the flesh to what's being spiritually discerned. This kind of stuff isn't for sissies. And if we've been phoning it in our faith in the last 20 years or whatever, not the time to do that, you know? And so this is a time to be leaning in. But it starts, as you say, Than, what in me, Lord? Start with me, right?
Yeah, and you know, Susie, I would just tell you, I mean, I have a side and a view and rather hard, you know, firmly held views on most all of these issues. And I spend hours a day pursuing them, Susie, and there's a reason that I hold them. I mean, I believe that limited government maximizes freedom for people to choose Jesus. I believe that an unborn child with a heartbeat and pain receptors has an eternal soul, bears the image of God, and is wholly entitled to protection under the law. And those things are worth pursuing, Susie. But I think it can be very easy to lose sight of the fact that while those are worthwhile pursuits, government is not even the primary vehicle by which we achieve a return to first principles or the mission that God has called us to. The people of God are the primary vehicle for achieving that. And while I want to have legal victories, while I want our law to reflect a moral soundness that maximizes that freedom, Susie, that's like you know, punching the ball in from the 1 yard line for the touchdown, the 99 yards, the 99% of the effort that it takes to get the ball to the 1 yard line happens in our day-to-day lives. It happens by being a part of the solution for the person who is vulnerable. And if we can be in the gap for that person in that moment, most of the solution is there. And it also changes hearts and minds and makes the job that we engage in Washington, D.C. easier. But it's very easy to get that backwards, because what we see on the news, what dominates our social media feeds, is the legal fight. But Susie, I'm here to tell you, 99% of this struggle exists on a spiritual level and between people, person to person.
Very good. I'd love for you to take Luke's prayer request. I love this guy. He's just a faithful listener and always so honest. He says, I'm fearful of myself. I know the dark desires I have sometimes. I'm afraid of my occasional doubts, afraid that my doubts and desires will grow beyond control, afraid of times when my faith is so small. And I know what that's like when fear gets stirred up and suddenly you become negatively self-aware and kind of you almost get in your own way, and where the Lord just wants to grab your face, Luke, and tilt it up. But I wonder what you'd say to Luke.
First of all, I'd say me too, Luke. Me too. It's so easy to look at the waves, look at the circumstances, look at what is not going right and ask God, why is this happening? It's easy to get despondent. I guess I would just like to pray for both Luke and for me and for those listening, that we would resist that and that we would stand on faith. God, I thank you for Luke. I thank you for his vulnerability. I thank you for the fact that he desires to pursue you and to not be despondent based on circumstances that he sees around him. And God, I thank you for the fact that that really is the beginning of growth. When we realize that a dying to self, a dying to self-dependence can actually turn us towards you, can build our faith in you and make us wholly dependent on you. God, I pray that all of us would have that and that it would spark revival across this land, across every splinter of political ideology, across every denominational strand. May that be our hope. May our hope not lie in the circumstances, in the rubble that we may see around us, God, but may it lie in you and an understanding that you have the answers to these circumstances. And God, maybe I also just be bold enough to ask for a greater dose of understanding that solution runs through us. You've created us to partner with you and be a part of that solution. So just give Luke an assurance that you are a part of his plan. You've called him to your side and you've given him a mission. God, again, I thank you for his vulnerability. I ask that you encourage him today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We're going to pause here talking to Than Bennett, our good friend. He's the author of the book, My Fame, His Fame, Aiming Your Life and Influence Toward the Glory of God. It's such a rich, rich book. And to me, if you're getting kind of tied up in the chaos of the news and the culture, and you need a biblical reset to cry out to God to make his name known in our day, I would love to get you a copy. We've got, I think, 5 or 6 to give away. So you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We've got a few prayer requests left, and we're happy to take those and take more. Otherwise, we always got stuff to talk about on our own. So, hey, but we welcome your texts. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, and text your questions to that same number. We'll be back in a minute. Love that. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. As Than was talking before the break, I was thinking of that passage in Isaiah. I should have looked it up, but it talked about this is the kind of fast. You know, quit pointing the finger, quit accusing, but start to unbind people, loosen the chains, help the poor, the oppressed. Then your own healing will spring speedily forth. I wish I would have looked it up, but that's exactly what Than is talking about. We are holding our breath, we're hyperventilating, and there are threats. I mean, it really is a tipping point in our nation. And we should be aware of that. And we can war in the spirit as we pray than in the physical realm. As Christians, we can tend to needs around us. So I think one of the ways to overcome fear, to get past the angst in our soul, is to say, Lord, use me in miraculous ways. Who are vulnerable people I can help? Who are lonely people I can visit or give a gift to? There's always something you can do to tend to someone who has less than you, and something in you will get healed as you tend to the needs before you. So I've got Than Bennett on today. He joins me every month to bring a faith perspective from the hill, so to speak. But today he's co-hosting, and we're taking prayer requests and just standing with you because we know people are really struggling right now. This one is for you, Than. It says, my name is Brandon. My house is divided. My family's divided. I need healing. Too much temptation in the world. Most of my family are not as close to the Lord as I am. I've only been born again for 6 years. Please pray for me. I feel like I'm in this fight alone. God bless you, Brandon. What do you say, Than?
Susie, you say Brandon?
Yes.
Brandon, I so appreciate that. I think this is a situation that virtually every American finds ourselves in. I mean, you look at the outcome of the presidential election right down the wire. More than 70 million people voted for each candidate, and virtually every family has people on each side, and emotions are running high. I would tell you, this is going to sound a little bit trite, but I would start with this. I would express to each member of your family a simple, I love you. Seriously, I love you, no conditions, I love you, period. Mm. I think that will do more than you can even imagine. And I would probably try to set aside for the next few days what is going on in the news. And Susie mentioned the passage from Isaiah. As she was talking, I was thinking about Matthew 25, 35 through 40. I think any time we get wrapped up in excessive worry about how something is going to work out, we should go back to the very tangible things that God has commanded that we spend our time doing. And if you go to Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40, you will find a list of very, very specific things that each one of us can do to take our focus off ourselves, to take our focus off of the circumstances, and to engage in service. So I might give you that practical piece of advice, Matthew 25, 35 through 40. But God, I thank you for Brandon. I thank you for his desire to have harmony inside his family. I thank you for his love for you. And God, I ask that you would give him strength in this moment to pursue you first, but then to pursue those close to him, those you have tasked him to do this life with. God, I ask that you would strengthen the bond of love that exists inside that family, and just help them to realize that their common bond in you, for those that know you and those who are still being drawn to your side, that is bigger, that is greater, and that is more important than the things that would pull them apart. So God, thank you that Brandon can be the catalyst for this. Mm-hmm. I ask that you build him up, that you strengthen him, and you draw that family ever tighter together.
Amen. And Lord, I do pray against discouragement. That's one of the enemy's favorite weapons. And I just get the sense there's a heaviness in Brandon's heart and a discouragement in his soul. And you know what that means? You pull that word apart. It's to move you away from courage. So I want to go back to what Than opened the show with, that you're called to courage and boldness. Be strong. Be courageous. You are a mighty man of God and you're redeemed. And I pray God would use you, as Than said, as a catalyst to power and unity and love. And even it's not uniformity. I mean, there's maybe differences, but you do it well. And boy, if we can't do this at a core level, I don't know how we're asking the rest of the world to do it. But we can do it. Brandon, you can do it. Lori says, I need healing for arthritis, mostly in my knees, severe pain when walking. Thank you so much. She believes in God's healing. So, Father, we just come before you. And I just thank you for your provision for Lori to be healed. I don't understand the mystery of it, but as long as I have breath, I'm asking for miracles for people because I've seen you do it before. I pray in the name of Jesus for absolute healing, that every cell in Lori's body would support life and health, and any immune confusion would end right now in Jesus' name. Every system would communicate as it should, and every system would be replenished and restored. Father, I thank you. Your word says that when we fear you and we shun evil, it brings healing to our body and strength to our frame. Would you do that for Lori? She fears you. She honors you. May you bring healing to her body and strength to her frame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Lori. Keep pressing in and keep pressing on. All right. This one's from Madison. Than says, sometimes it's so hard to keep the faith and see Jesus when it seems like I'm not seeing him as clearly or confidently as other Christians do during this time. Pray for my blinded eyes to see Jesus, that he's real in the midst of confusion, and to trust his word. And again, Madison, you're so not alone. But what do you say, Thad?
Yeah, Madison, I think all of us can probably relate to that. And I would maybe, before we pray, I would just echo something that I prayed just a few minutes ago. I really do believe, Madison, and these aren't words. This is something that is deep in my core. I believe that we as a people of God are coming to the end of this period where we're believing in human structures or where we're putting our confidence in the things that are around us. And I think we are going to turn collectively through Jesus, through the realization that the things that we've been putting our hope in are not sustainable. They are not things that can sustain our hope. So I would just pray that that comes quickly. I would pray that that belief is something that you and I can see and realize and participate in our time. And God, I would just lift Madison up to you right now, and I would just ask that you would encourage her, that you would remind her where her hope is. It's in you. And God, as we started the program off, you are advocating for Madison before your Father, before the creator of the universe. You, as the Son of God, are intervening and are advocating in Madison's favor. And God, that should give her great boldness. That should give her confidence that she can engage with the temporal, with that which is going to pass away in a way that can produce mighty results. And God, for Madison and for me and for each of us, might we recognize those things that as we go through a very fallen world, through a very temporal world, that we would focus on the things that will live and will last forever, the things that you have called us to. Focus our eyes, focus Madison's eyes on those things and away from the things that don't have certainty. Help her to focus in on the things that you've called her to and the things that will last forever.
Mm. Yes, Lord. Amen. This dear listener says, do you feel that everything that's coming together, the evil that is rearing its head, the great restart, that we are so close to the Lord's return? What do you think, Than?
I think we need to be ready at any given moment, like a thief in the night. You know, it feels like that's the case, Susie, but you know, I look back over the course of human history, and I think that that could have been said at many different times. I think we need to be ready as if that is happening at any given moment. And, you know, the good news is 1 Corinthians 13 talks about this, but we don't have to know the answer to that question to know what our responsibility is. One day we will see in full, but we don't have to figure out God's side of this equation. Our only job is to walk in the instructions that he's given to us. And I know we're up against the end of our time here, Susie, but I might just leave you with one thought from Jeremiah 29. And I know there's a verse later in the chapter that a lot of us focus on, but what is the tangible command that God gave to the Israelites in Jeremiah 29 when they're in exile? He told them to seek the peace and the prosperity of their city. It was not a city that they wanted to be in at the moment, but it was the city that they resided in, and that was their task. And Susie, I think that's where we sit. We need to collectively, no matter where we're at in this great divide, this great political strife that we feel, we need to be collectively seeking the peace and the prosperity of our city, of our state, of our country. And quite honestly, that starts with your neighbor, regardless of whether they agree with you or disagree with you on this election. So let's focus there. Let's seek the peace and prosperity and the health of relationships with our neighbors.
Amen. I wish we had another hour because I would love to address this, but I can hear the fear in this text. And as someone who's battled with fear, something I know is that the enemy is constantly trying to pose threats, not that they don't exist, but that they probably don't exist for you. And what I want to say, I want to see if I can explain this well, but he's been parroting fear and amping it up, especially in 2020, where people are living in constant terror. And I just really believe if we lean in and discern the very things that God asks us to walk through, he gives us grace to overcome. And we must know that. So I think we have to move out of that paralyzed fear place and go, Lord, you've been faithful before. You're going to be faithful again. And anything you ask me to walk through, I will overcome. And I will come through that fire without smelling like smoke. I just want to encourage you to contend with that thing. Don't let it just loom around you. And Than, we got to do this again because there's so many more needs that are coming in, and our day is wrapped up here. But God bless you, my friend. Thanks for joining us today.
I love you, Susie. We serve the creator of the universe.
Come on.
We can be
Come
bold.
On. Amen, amen. And friends, we're going to post Than's essay on the show page once the podcast, if that's okay with you. Is that okay with you? I should have asked
you
that.
Absolutely.
All right. People want to see the essay. It'll be up on our show page in a little bit. Keep looking up. We serve a creator, so be bold. We'll meet you. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.